Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 39 of Simple Ken. We have very special guests today. We have Nirmal and Abhishek. Yes, welcome to the episode. I'm so happy you guys are here. You know, all the way from Bangalore. Before was Chennai.
Yes.
Before was Chennai for you as
I'm
well.
I'm moving to Bangalore soon.
Oh, you haven't moved yet?
I haven't moved yet.
Only Nirmal has.
Yeah.
Nirmal, why aren't you convincing?
Every time he comes to Bangalore, it's a 1 hour convincing session in my house. Why aren't you moving?
I'm already sold. We have a lot of traveling to do. I don't want to pay rent to an empty house. So once the tour is complete, we'll...
But that'll never change there.
No, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Kenny, this video is a proof for my move.
No, I meant like, you know, once you move,
are moving, huh?
You still travel a lot.
That's an optimistic, yeah.
But
you told me that it's some health stuff that you were staying back in Chennai for.
Yes.
Your doctor.
Oh, yeah. At the back. That's fine now.
Back and all, though. What happened, dude?
In cricket, I just fucked my back up.
Okay.
Not general back pain.
Not lower back.
I walk like this.
Yeah. But
arthritis.
Is it also parents and all? You don't want to go?
No. I'm absolutely fine. They're also fine.
Okay.
August, full month we're out. So maybe September I'll make
money. Macha, I used to have this same problem in Mumbai also. When you pay so much rent and you go for a tour, you're paying like 1 month rent for nothing.
Yeah. I can't imagine Bombay and all.
But then, get married.
Exactly what I was supposed to say. You're somebody else living in that space.
It's in the house.
Correct.
You're like, it's being used there.
Dude, I remember this from Biswa saying in some other podcast somewhere else that he's like, the world is designed for two people. It's not like for one person. It's like it's like a two people establishment.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes so much sense.
Don't you also think normal quotes become extra smart when Biswa says it?
Like, yeah, sometimes a little bit.
It's true.
We were actually having the same conversation and we had another realization that the world is made for the 9 to 5 peeps.
Oh.
So our schedules are so bizarre.
Yeah.
That it starts being apparent when you do normal stuff. Like I was applying for a loan and they were like, nah, we're not comfortable giving it to you. And I was like, why? They're like, God knows when you'll get your next paycheck. Oh, and
if Kenny is having that problem.
Yeah.
Dude, and even after they saw your bank balance.
Yeah, because it took me an hour to explain what I do.
Right.
And then he was like, what if you fall sick? Then you can't do live shows. Yeah, dude, he asked me all this. And I was like, do you ask this to all the people you give
a
loan
to?
That's
super weird.
Yeah, and then I had to explain, no, I do other stuff also. Then he's like, why would a brand work with you? I was like, bro, this is getting very insulting. So you realize that most of them, they just want your salary slip.
Yeah.
Just send it now while you're talking so much. So it'll happen. But
wow.
Nice.
But so I have met Abhishek. I think I met you first before I met Nirmal. And I met him long ago. We did... I met you at the festival first.
Spotted Haina.
Yeah. Festival. And little did I know... I don't want... I'm not comparing you, but I felt like the way I met you is how I felt Akash Gupta also.
Oh, nice.
Where they didn't prepare me for who the person is. So some guy... So they were like, hey, Akash is coming to a spot. I was like, cool. Then he does the spot and he destroys. And then we all start getting nervous. The spot guy is doing better than us. And the same thing with Abhishek. He's like, hey, I'll just quickly... And I was like, man, look at his energy. He destroys. He's like, okay, I'm going. I was like, where are you going? This is the first. And you had another show that day.
Yes, I opened for Essay the same night you did your special.
Yeah. So I was like, my God.
Weirdly, Akash and I have a lot of coincidences.
No, I meant for me.
Like in life.
Oh.
Both of us comics on.
Oh, yeah.
Both of us did LOL.
You did LOL also.
Same graph basically.
Yeah, so I mean, for the few people who don't know, you also won Comic-San.
The Tamil version.
Tamil version. And how was that experience?
It was tough.
Tough, huh?
First 3 weeks I was out of place because all my jokes are predominantly in English.
Okay.
And all the other 5 contestants, their first thought of jokes is in Tamil. Which means they were a lot more comfortable and prepared for the show. But I thought I'll come one day before, convert all my sets to Tamil, and kill it.
Full. But what is it, a requisite that you have to do in Tamil?
Yeah, it's the Tamil show, right?
Oh, you so can't it do should English.
Either be 70-30 max. 70 Tamil, 30 English. Yeah. Mine was 70 English, 30 Tamil.
Yeah.
All my punches were in Tamil, so I thought I'll smartly get away with it. First episode, I was so bad. I exceeded the time by 2 minutes. I was flagged. I was so unprepared.
We cut points for that.
Yeah. I was flagged. They had a 1 hour discussion with me after the episode. Imagine how much pressure you have when the directors come, take you to a room and tell, listen, you're in some different tangent. Yeah. You have to zone into the show.
And I think you had more pressure also because like all the other contestants were all hardcore, like full on Tamil speaking.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
This guy does mostly in English. Only.
Yeah.
So, I somehow nailed the audition and got in.
Yeah.
But after that first 3 weeks, I thought I did the biggest mistake. After the third week, to my luck, everything is an act out sketch improv episode. I slowly climbed the ladder and somehow.
And then one and a half, dude.
Crazy.
Like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I think Comicstan is more about playing to Comicstan. Like, forget stand up, treat it like a game, win that game.
Yeah, so, dude. Like, I used to keep telling the contestants that nobody expects a comedian to do improv, sketch and stand up.
Yeah.
That's too much to ask. Like, that doesn't mean you're not a comedian if you can't do any of this.
Yeah.
So don't treat it like, you know, a reflection of you. Papa, they also get really stressed, the contestants.
It was tough. I think it was very tough because you're in a room after the episode. You don't go back home.
Yeah.
It almost feels like Big Boss with stand-up.
Yeah.
So that adds to the pressure.
We used to like lock all the contestants and release tear gas and all. And we used to see who will last longer. Then we used to go up with masks and beat them up. And then we used to be like, who's the judge? Who's the judge?
Dummy.
Yeah. But I don't know why they didn't like us after that. But I think most of the time I just used to keep telling them, please ignore whatever can we are giving. Yeah.
Hey, but you know, one thing I've noticed is that all the, your comics and underlings, if I may say that word, but like they are now like your like very good friends.
Yeah.
Like they keep coming, the same lineup shows have them as well as the judges they have. And you guys hang out a lot is what I'm guessing.
It's, that's what, the most common question you get is, how do you, even the press is like, oh, you must be feeling threatened that these guys are
going to. Next gen is coming up.
Yeah, it's like, no, we're just happy that there are more like good comedians, you know, like talented comedians.
Yeah.
So when we were perform, like watching them perform, we were like, yeah, I want to work with this guy.
Nice.
Ends. So like for me, that was like Shamik. I was watching, I was like, bro, I need to get him to work with me.
Nice.
So we got excited to see like more people to work with. And then Nirmal I met in Abhish's house.
Correct.
Abhish is the unifying.
Abhish is the,
yeah. Yeah, he's very important to this scene. He's very sweet.
Yeah.
And he brought Nirmal home. and then Nirmal saw.
Got him home.
Yeah, Nirmal saw the uncensored version. I was just on one trip that day. And I was just making dirty jokes. And Nirmal is like, wow!
My mind was getting blown.
Nirmal comes to me after this whole meeting. Yeah. Like, macha, they're like, Assam leader.
Yeah, it is too much.
Which are the kind of stuff they're talking, dude.
Same, macha, same.
Yeah.
No, because like, for me, the distinction was very, because I knew you as a fan before I knew you as a friend.
Yeah.
So that's insane to me. So that jump is like, hey, this guy who I've seen on screen all this while.
Yeah.
And then I see you in real life and you're like, hey, yo, what's up, dude? And you're coming and you're doing all those dark jokes.
Yeah.
I'm losing.
I was like, since it's a safe space,
I'm like, this is upside down Kenny.
Next 1 week, Nirmal was writing only dark jokes.
No, even when I do live shows here and there, I'll say something very fucked up.
Yeah.
And the audience like, eh? I was like, oh, yo, reel it back. Yeah. But
no, but yeah, even I don't, like even we do a lot of that. We say,
oh, we are purely dark offstage for the ones who don't know.
Yeah.
But we are, everyone has a natural dark side, I feel.
Yeah.
No, dude, I think like sometimes I'll make the mistake of saying these very fucked up things.
Out in
when I'm in some different friend circle. And some people just look at me like, what did you say?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not the correct
right
place
circle
for this.
Read the room, Nirmal.
Yeah, I should.
That's the thing with comics, you don't have to read the room because first you know that if you say something, they won't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And also, Also, we're bored of the surface level. Why? Oh.
No, you're right.
You got cancelled.
Multiple times. I'm like the Indian denomination. Every 3 months, I get cancelled for stupid shit.
In the scene or with the...
On Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on Twitter. Okay.
I'm not on Twitter.
Oh, you're not on Twitter.
I quit after the whole saga.
Yeah, dude. Nothing good comes from
it.
And it's full of bots anyway now.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself.
But within the scene, you feel...
Okay, now time to be honest. We both are like in between. We're not in the stand-up scene.
Yes.
We're not in the creator scene.
Okay.
Not to compare with anyone. Like, we remember what Virdas told. Everywhere he goes, he's alienated.
Yeah.
He's alienated because he's famous.
Yeah.
We are alienated because we keep shuffling between one thing to the other.
Yeah.
So, when we go to creators meet, they're like, hey, this comic is here. When you go to a stand-up comedy open mic, they're like, why are you here? You have followers. Why are you here? Why are you testing?
Yeah. Where? Which open mic is this?
Everywhere. Yeah. General outlook is, we don't belong to a particular community. So, when we get cancelled or something, we don't have some 3-4 friends who back us up.
Okay.
Nirmal backs me up. He has not gotten cancelled, touch wood.
Yeah.
I will back him up. So, I think our bouncing wall is each other, I think. So.
Yeah, but it is going to be like that. I mean, even after 13 years of being here, I still feel it's a handful of people I can get support from. Kanan and Biswa and Abhish and these guys. Like who you started with.
Yeah.
Actually, for you guys, that's what I realized. For you guys had that circle.
Yeah.
Kanan, Kenny, Biswa, all this thing.
Yeah.
When we started, we had the same kind of career trajectory also.
Yeah.
Like got... followers and stuff around the same time. Both of us wanted to do stand-up also. And not a lot of other creators actually want to do stand-up.
Yeah.
Or you would not see a lot of other stand-up comics who want to do content.
Yeah.
Like it's, so we were in this very, like, our interests were mutually aligning a lot.
Yeah.
So that was like...
Yeah, but to be fair, there are two separate things. Like being a creator and being a stand-up
comedian. Yeah, it's actually true.
Which is interesting because you have been doing stand-up for a long time.
Yeah,
And you're just getting into it.
Yeah.
But it's been a while now. It's been 2 years.
Two years now.
And you've been doing it for what, 10?
No. 17.
17?
2017, yeah.
Oh, okay. 2017. That's 17 years. I'm like, it's like
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
George Carlin.
George Carlin. Only abortion jokes.
There was some podcast.
Sorry.
It's fine. You can say abortion jokes, dude. It's fine.
I'm not. I'm saying he will.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Some podcast, I think one comic was like, how many years have you been doing? He just said 17. He's like, oh, you're so early. Oh, I love that phase. You know, I remember when I was doing 17. These guys are done 25, 30 and all.
Oh, my
so.
God.
But you've been doing it for
six
so
years.
Long.
6 years.
6 years. And when you guys perform together, I have not had the... privilege of watching you guys.
Please come whenever you want.
Yeah, I
want
to see. Yeah. I'll get a little scared. You know what? The thing is, I get afraid watching newer comics because you guys always push the boundary without you realizing because it's new for you guys. So for me, when I sit and watch, I'm like, huh?
How do I better this?
No, not that. It's just like, damn, this is like, what's the best way to put it? It's like somebody's eating from the bottom of the plate.
Right.
Like, you thought you could only eat from the top.
Right, and then someone's digging deeper.
No, someone's like flipped around and they're eating from the bottom. And you're like, what is going on?
It's like a new perspective.
It's complete. It's not even perspective. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even realize there is this way to do it.
Oh.
So my brain is just like, overwhelmed. Like, oh my God, this is also possible. And then you just go into one spiral. And then you're like, man, I really... So it's very impressive. That's why I keep coming to open mics.
Right.
And I see like comics in an open mic... doing something so clever and new.
Mm.
Because I can see where they're going. Okay, it might not be landing, but you guys will be landing also. So
I think our show won't trouble you that much.
No, but it's really overwhelming to see like what else is out there. This silly thing and all. It's just, who's the intellectual comic, dude? Who's doing intellectual comic in...
I think Anirban is quite intellectual.
Yeah, okay. No, but I don't think Anirban is like... He writes something and he's like, this is not intellectual.
And he rewrites. No.
Yeah, he's just right because he just is.
He's a natural. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think anybody's writing intellectual comic. And also, we're too young to write.
No, I don't want to also. Yeah. I want to be myself.
No, I'm just asking where this expectation came from.
Oh, no. Because I got landed in trouble on Twitter for saying something factually wrong. Oh. I didn't even say something politically wrong. Oh. I said something factually wrong. So I don't want people to come in thinking, where are the facts? Give me more facts. I'm like, no, it'll be stupid. Laugh, go.
Hey, man, people who look for facts in comedy.
No,
that's just a losing thing. But yeah, so when, so you guys have been in the journey together. So when Nirmal said, hey, I want to start focusing on stand-up.
No, he didn't. I forced him.
Oh, you forced
him? Yeah. The guy was very happy doing reels and sitting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wanted to eventually do comedy. Yes, but I told him, you are never starting because back then, open mics were not regular. It was online. They were just starting out. One open mic per week we had in Chennai or something like that. So, and we didn't have the time to go rehearse or try new material. So I told him, listen, I'm going to throw you to the deep end. Let's start doing crowd work.
Oh.
We'll book a hall, like small 70-seater. Start. We just do. And he's like, what if I tank? I'm like, no, you won't tank. It's people who like you, they're buying tickets. Yeah. And I will back you no matter what. Yeah. I will come before, after you, somehow do something, but just do your 20-25 minutes. And ever since the
20-25 minutes?
Yeah, of crowd work. Proper deep end.
Yeah. So,
first few shows, man. Oh my God. That was very scary, actually.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what was happening. But it was also liberating in a way because there were no rules I had to follow.
Yeah.
I could just do whatever I wanted and then try just, you know, even dance to get them to laugh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like that, I knew the end goal was to make them laugh. And so,
that is like such a pure like
answer.
When you start, no, you're just like, what do I have? Because then later you're like, I want to say something.
correct.
This is what I want to say.
I found my voice.
My voice now. This is how I speak on stage. Like all that, nothing. Yeah. This is just like, hi. What's your name? Like that was the face.
Yeah.
And it was great, dude. But actually without that, I really like that idea of just getting thrown into the deep end and being like, oh, what do I do? And then like slowly figuring out. And now like after several shows and many like cities that we've done it in, it's like, okay, I'm comfortable now.
Yeah.
I can very comfortably go on stage. I'm not scared. What'll you do? You won't laugh. That's all. No. Then I'll go.
Wow, dude.
Now it's nice. I like that.
That's awesome. No, it's great that you have a friend who's like, like, yo, even if you bomb, I got material. But then now you're also getting into material. Also.
Now I've started doing material like around 4 or 5 months ago properly.
Yeah.
Properly, I'm doing open mics and trying to build and stuff.
That's very interesting because nobody starts with crowd work. People always start with material.
Yeah.
And then they get into crowd work. But it's really cool because then you're starting with absolutely nothing, which is even more scary.
So you get rid of the whole fear
of
bombing. You become immune.
That's
which
true.
Means your material comes with a lot more conviction.
That's true.
That worked for him, I think. Because his material is very strong.
Okay.
I've seen his written sets. He has a lot more confidence with written sets than crowd work, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, crowd work is a very dangerous approach.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but now we are immune. Throw us in any crowd.
Nice.
I have one show. This is the worst show of my life.
In Coimbatore.
I don't know what happened.
Were you there?
Same show. Together show. Nirmal goes on stage. He's like, hello, Coimbatore. Lights are flickering.
Production stuff is happening.
No.
And I don't know what happened because we had the first ever time we did Coimbatore, brilliant show.
Two shows we did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Both the shows are kick-ass.
Nice.
Too good. And then the second time we were like, wow, Coimbatore, home ground, y'all. And then I go on stage, Coimbatore, what's up, dude? Silence. And then I'm like, okay, hi, what's your name? I'm trying to talk. 20 minutes, I went without a one laugh.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen him struggle. I don't know why.
Even I don't know.
Was the mic not working?
No, I think one problem with Nirmal, it's a problem or an advantage, I don't know. If you see something's wrong, you can say it from his face. Okay? He will shit through his face. Like, he'll poop through his nose, mouth.
Oh no. Yeah.
That was like, more in the initial phase.
Now
I know how to control
it. So that day, I think he was showing them that he was not confident because of external factors.
There's that thing, no, that you the audience is like a wild bull.
Yeah.
You know, and you have the flag.
Yeah.
It's like it's a beast you have to control.
It's
so weird that they become their own entity.
Yeah, yeah.
And
one shell by themselves. Yeah.
Just a few days ago, I did a corporate show. And in the beginning of the corporate show, I had to get that in with them, no? Where they're all formal.
Yeah.
So I have to say something to get that in. Unlike a public show where they're already chill.
Yeah.
So I made one comment about something, which is something I don't believe in. It's very dramatic statement like, oh, this sucks or something.
Right.
And the audience, oh my God, you said this sucks. But the person I directed it to got pissed.
Oh, shit.
So I had to use that person as a fall.
Oh, to get
everybody
happy.
In. But then that person spoke back.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
And it's not a public show where I can go back and be like, oh, I have 13 years of experience, I'll destroy you. Yeah. But I'm like, this is my client. Shit. So I can't destroy you. So I said, fair. But now I can feel the audience is lost.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this guy is not, he can't have hold on us. Oh, he just said fair. What is this? Yeah. So then I was like, okay. Then I brought it up again and I started giving back. And then I could see the audience is like, why is the comedian being rude. Like this rude? And then, yeah, so it's a very delicate,
Yeah.
Wow.
But nobody's saying this. You can just feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's weird.
The cold aura.
Yeah. When heat is there. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's something
Have you ever been in the audience when you're seeing a comedian bomb?
Yeah, so I keep telling people who don't perform regularly is that the audience wants you to do well.
Yes, actually.
You know, like when you sit in the audience and you see someone bomb, it's so uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
And then it's unbearable to me. Like I find it very hard to watch open mics. Like to a point where now I can't say it. So if somebody's bombing, I take my phone out.
And I just
look. So I'm like, I can't deal with this. I have to disconnect. Because I feel what they're feeling.
It's like a sibling getting fucked by parents. Like, I don't want to look there.
Yeah, I just look away, start checking on my phone. Like, the moment they're doing well, no, I look at them.
Even in open mics, or what?
Yeah, man.
Open mics, I've seen this. I think it's a very similar pattern I've noticed. If some comedian's bombing, to make things worse, other comedians start talking. They start discussing because they don't want to look there.
Yeah.
They start bitching. So as a comedian, if you're on stage already bombing, when you look at your fellow comedians talking about something, not even looking at you, it makes it worse, I feel.
Yeah, but I would prefer they were not looking at me when I'm performing.
Yeah.
But yeah, when somebody else bombs, I just feel very bad for them.
Yeah.
And when somebody kills, man, it's just so much relief.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, thank God. So yeah, so I feel like it's when you bomb, I laugh now. Like when I bomb on stage, I laugh. Because I'm like, nobody wants this. Like nobody wants this, but they're also causing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, okay. So I have a very heavy question to start off.
Let's go.
Okay. So this was directed at you guys. Usually I get generic questions, but this is for you guys.
Somebody sent for us.
Yes, I asked today, like, hey, I have these two guests. Do you have any questions? And they said, how do you guys cope with the expectations you have set for yourself in your dream job? So clearly, this is the dream job, unless farming was your eventual goal.
Yes, hiking across Scotland.
Hiking. We'll get to that story.
How do you cope with the expectations we have set for ourselves?
I think expectations from both sides, I guess. How do you cope with the expectation you have set for yourself in the dream job? So I'm sure like now that you have reached your...
I think I've barely
reached anywhere. Like either of us, I think.
Is that what they're asking?
What is your dream job?
Dream job for me was doing stuff on stage. Perpetually performing on stage.
Yeah.
Because I started off doing theater.
Yeah.
I was teaching kids theater. That was my first proper full-time job. So when I started off doing theater, I had no clue I will be doing stand-up, number one. I had no clue there was so much money in stand-up or content. So I think I've surpassed all my comfortable dream levels right now. I'm in a very comfortable place. But again, you can't settle.
Yeah.
Your dreams keep changing. You want to set the bar higher. So I think I'm on track. I'm very happy with how I'm pacing this. And I feel the more I rush it, the more I fuck up the quality. So I think I should pace it to a level where I'm doing comfortably on my own pace and quality.
Yeah.
Because if you rush things, I feel quality takes a hit.
Yeah.
Have you reached your dream?
No, I think I'm very comfortable where I am. But the thing that eats me is like, oh, I know there's so much more to do.
Yeah.
That is always it. Because like, I think the way I even started was... In school itself, I started making short films and stuff like that. Some 40-minute short film that nobody watched, which the teacher saw, and she made us sit outside because it was so bad.
Teacher is this?
He would have shown it to a maths teacher. She's like, why are you showing 40-minute short film?
We gave her like CDs.
During my trigonometry lesson.
We gave CDs to all the teachers after we made the show.
That is a ballsy move, bro.
It's not like it's your film teacher, huh?
I was like, see how cool I am. Like,
oh, God.
No, but anyway.
Do you have a CD player?
Yeah.
But when was this?
What ninth standard?
Ninth standard, you made a 40-minute
40-minute film?
There was no YouTube that then.
No. There was. It's there. It's there on YouTube.
Why you have CDs?
I'll tell you why it's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Man didn't edit anything.
No. We edited. But it's like all the terrible cyber media player editing.
Oh, right.
It's like all that. But it's...
What was the premise of this 40-minute?
So that was the time that we read Percy Jackson.
Oh.
Right? And all the Greek gods were there. Right?
Wow.
So me and my friend, we wrote a story about Greek gods, but they come to Chennai.
Oh,
okay, but
wow, this is actually still content friendly.
Yeah,
because it's the only religion you can talk about.
Yeah. Greek gods, all Greek gods.
Yeah. So Greek gods come to Chennai.
And
there's full VFX and all.
So first we didn't know how to make a film. So first we made a trailer for the movie. We shot
the
trailer.
You didn't shoot the film. You just shot the trailer.
We just shot the trailer.
That's fun.
And in the trailer, we had to show Zeus. You know Zeus, the king of lightning?
Yeah. King of gods.
How do we show lightning? We switched off the lights. We put torch on the side and we... You know,
yeah,
this
that's what lightning is.
Crazy.
Essentially.
Crazy.
It's when other light is not there.
Yeah. I was Poseidon. So for Poseidon's power, it just rained the night before. So we were standing in the middle of a ground which was full of water. We rolled the camera. I did this. Some guy threw a stone at the exact same time. So, when the plop happened, I did this and it came.
Hey, two, nine standards. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm telling
that. After that, we released the trailer and we were like, oh, now we have to make the film.
Wow.
And then we realized that we don't have the necessary knowledge to make the film like with all the VFX.
This level of self-awareness didn't happen when you're making trailer. Yeah, like trailer where we're qualified.
Yeah.
We're not qualified for feature length.
And then we changed the story to these guys are attempting to make a film about Greek gods in Chennai.
Convenient. Wow.
And then the drama that happens behind it.
Wow.
Like full friendship breaking this and all.
Damn, dude, that's
too good.
Very complex for nine.
No, it's too good. Nine, you know what I was doing? I don't even remember. But
Anyway, the point is that I was always doing some kind of thing, like making a film here, in college, doing theater, doing writing plays, act. I was like, oh, wow, I can act. Once I got into the acting troupe. So that was new for me.
Because you have an acting troupe in school, you know?
In college.
In college, okay.
In college. So always in school, I was like behind the camera guy. I always thought I'd be behind the camera guy. In college, I got into the acting troupe by like Abdi.
Yeah.
And I did audition. I was like, wow, oh, this works for me. I guess this works. It was nice. After that, I was like, okay, ultimately my thing was I want to make a lot of things in different things, like a show, movie, stand up also. So I was like, I want to do all of these. Like, basically what I aspire to be, it's not like I am there yet at all, but it's like an Indian version of Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Like, that's a big thing to say.
That guy is
insane.
Yeah, he's like a Renaissance man, dude.
Correct.
Yeah, he does everything.
Yeah. Correct. I'm like, maybe I'll never even get there, but it's nice to aspire.
It's a good path to follow.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's a very good. He's done everything.
Yeah.
For me, it's the same with Adam Sandler, but.
Dude, we talk about
something stupid. Have my three friends who I have fun with.
Yeah.
Like Nirmal and two other friends. I can use them
stupid
everywhere.
Friends, okay.
And Adam Sandler's gotten multiple worst actor awards. But man does not care. He still does what he does. Sticks to his strength. Suddenly he'll come with uncut gems.
Yeah.
So
that
was
such a great flex. Yeah. He's like, oh, you guys don't think I can act?
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oscar nomination.
Dude,
I'm done.
And 100% Fresh is one of my favorite specials ever.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people didn't see it. Like when it came out and I said, did you see Adam Sandler's special? Like, no. I'm like, it's one of the, first of all, super grand.
Yes.
Super grand in multiple venues.
Yeah.
And so funny, like
so
universally funny.
Too good.
And silly.
Yeah.
And my favorite
phone wallet keys.
Yeah, phone wallet keys. My favorite is the Station 69.
Oh, shit, too good.
Yeah,
too good.
Such a nice bit.
I love Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but Adam Sandler actually is also financially a very...
Sorted guy
in terms of like
Billy Madison.
Yeah, and when I think Netflix did the biggest deal with him.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He made billion
dollars.
A billion in the box office. And apparently, any project that he's ever done for Netflix has been the most successful for them. So he's like literally the best person to hire, best person to be friends with, best person to work with.
Yeah.
So, like, what a ideally holistic, non problematic, you know, artist, which is such a.
Yeah.
Good goal to have.
Yeah, true.
Same with Donald Glover. I don't think he has any... Overall, in personal life also, like, very good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not beat up his girlfriend in a car. Yeah. Looking at you, Chris Brown. But yeah,
we don't stand against Chris Brown. Yeah, no, yeah. We stand against Chris Brown.
Yeah,
because podcast stands against Chris Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. That guy has done some shit and he's still there. Anyway, speaking of shit.
Yeah.
Next question. Okay, I don't know. This is a tradition. Every episode of Simple Game, we get an existential crisis question.
Of course.
How existential crisis is different when you're unemployed and turning 25. How to deal? Please help. Thanks. This is from Chacham Mayuki. Chacham is an ancient Kerala ghost that attacks you when you don't do your homework.
There you go. Change the first name.
You know what? Actually, I can relate exactly with this situation. About
you can relate.
Yeah, I can. Because I was not 25. I was 23, I think.
And you went through a existential crisis.
Not existential crisis. As in, what is the question?
Yeah.
How do you deal with...
unemployment also.
Unemployment. No, that I can help with.
Yeah, but... Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking about unemployment.
Unemployment and existentialism is a byproduct of like that unemployment
fair.
Yeah, thing.
Fair, yeah. Fair.
And turning 25.
Turning 25, I don't know. But I think I just finished college.
Yeah.
And I was... I did 5 years of architecture.
Oh, okay.
And architecture, if you don't know, is like a terrible profession to choose. But I say this as a person who's come from there. And I know that...
Where you did architecture?
NIT Trichy.
Oh, NIT Trichy.
The best place for engineering.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nice. Yeah.
No, I don't mean it's a bad profession. I mean, if you really like it, you can go for it. But if you're going for like getting money and stuff like that, like a normal job, that's not the place for you. Because you really have to slog. You really have to... Unless you have a father who's already an architect or relatives.
Unless you have a father who's successful is a solution for
most things. Solution for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that I realize all people getting placed in my class, we're getting like some 15K per month in Bangalore. Like, can you imagine that? So what happened is after call, I didn't know what to do. I tried like advertising everything and I tried internships and all.
Okay.
So I was in his place. I finished college. I didn't have a job.
Okay.
I graduated. Now I had 6 months where nothing was going. Like I didn't have Instagram. Nothing was happening. And we were trying, oh shit, what do I do? Me and my friend were trying to figure out what alternative career can we just jump into.
Okay. Is this the same friend you did your short film with?
Yeah.
Okay. What's his name?
Gautam.
Gautam. Okay. Huh. Yeah. Where is Gautam?
Shout out to Gautam. He's in Bangalore.
Gautam is in Bangalore.
Yeah. Gautam. Do you still work with Gautam?
Yeah. He's my roommate. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
He just shot KFC video with us.
Oh, nice.
We had a brand video. Who he shot.
Thanks, yeah. Gautam.
Thanks. Yeah. Hold on, Gautam, man. Yeah.
The Greek god.
So...
Yeah, what did Gautam play?
He was Hephaestus, god of fire.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Didn't Hephaestus get cursed for giving it to humans? Wasn't he like...
I think so, yes.
He's the guy who has to...
They didn't get to that part of the script.
Oh, okay.
Those guys came to Chennai before that. The gods came to Chennai.
Hephaestus gave fire to humans and then...
And he got like,
fuck you, bro. How dare you do this?
I remember this.
Yeah.
No, but... So, in that case... So, we were trying to figure out what... Ultimately, what ended up happening is what we figured out, okay, we really like design. We got into product design. UX, UI was a very high paying thing at that time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and we did it. And we did a course and we got into it. But the thing is, in that time, in those 6 months, it was so dark, like mentally, because nothing is going well for you. Like you haven't gotten a job. You're still working on a project after your graduation when everybody else around you have got jobs.
Yeah.
And then people are looking at you and your parents are also supportive, but they're like,
yeah, that.
You'll figure your stuff out, man. Yeah. So that
it'll
was
be happening. Nice if nice. You were not a failure.
Yes. Yeah. And you also don't want to be one inherently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what really helped me during that time, I don't know if different things work for different people. What really helped me get clarity on what I wanted and all was every day when the thoughts will get very overwhelming and I'd feel like, oh God, this is like about to burst, I'll journal.
Oh, nice.
And not like in a neat way and all.
How did you discover that? Did somebody
just
tell
like
you?
That? Because I really enjoy writing.
Okay.
So I really enjoy writing. So this was, every time that the thoughts will get really, oh God, what's happening? I open my laptop, I open OneNote and I'm like,
So nice. Huh?
And I just brain dump whatever is there. And then now if I go back, I have like every 2 to 3 days, I'll write one journal entry of those 6 months. And if I look at it, I still go back to that sometimes to see what you actually want to do.
Oh.
And stuff like that. So that's actually really, that helped me and exercise and meditation.
Yeah.
These three, exercise every day is like, that'll give you one, okay, you know what?
Adrenaline.
At least your body is not messed up and stuff. And this was during COVID lockdown. Oh. So it's like everything coming together. So I get where he's been. And I think, like, for me, journaling helped because as a way to get out all those overwhelming thoughts. Once you journal, you feel much more lighter because all those thoughts that are here end up on your page and you don't have to live with it. Yeah. As much.
So, journaling is something you and I have recently discovered. Because you just said,
then?
Like a nice modern...
dad.
Yeah. Good. Journaling. Yeah, and I didn't realize how powerful it is, dude. Like, it's almost like... what in Harry Potter, they have that... What is that? Pensive? What is
the removing?
They remove that thing and they put it feels like that. It's like it's not a problem anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's in the book now.
That's always painful to watch. But
yeah. But you guys are not the same age, right?
No, I'm 3 years older to Nirmal.
And I feel like you can feel it also in terms of like creatively you have been through a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I had a more elongated existential crisis phase.
Yeah, so I was very interested to see your...
Mine was a little different. My best friends were overachievers. Like, one person is in San Francisco, the other is in Auckland.
Who are you?
So every time they come home...
What do they do?
He's apparently a neuroscience researcher in San Francisco. He's a beatboxer, overachiever number one. This guy was...
He's a neuroscience researcher and beatbox.
He plays the guitar like one Greek god.
Shout out to Vinny Johnson.
Vinny Johnson.
Oh,
Vinny
damn
Johnson,
you, Vinny. Yeah. Yeah, and Vinny the Auckland guy?
Auckland guy is a nice pavam guy who just is a textbook guy. Like mechanical engineer who got a mechanical engineering job in Auckland. But the problem was I used to have a very comfortable life when these two guys are not there, when they were away. But then when they used to come home, dinner and all, they won't let me pay. They're like, we'll pay. We'll pay. And Vinny takes out a card, taps it. I've never seen a card tap work before. I'm like, macha, pin and all, hold port. He's like, chill, got this.
My God.
And okay, that's funny. So whenever we three used to hang out at home and all, conversations used to be only about how's life in San Francisco, how's life in Auckland. Life's good, huh? And then look there, me. Anyway, and I felt very out of place. With no bad intentions from anyone.
Yeah.
It's very organic, natural. But I felt like I'm not doing much. So when they used to leave, you know that feeling when all your cousins leave after a vacation, when there's a lot of empty void with some heavy sadness in it. I'm like, I'm doing theater. I'm getting some 15-20K. I'm teaching kids. It's very wholesome. But where is this going?
Yeah.
I had one major, like, extreme self-confidence in myself that I'll get some break somewhere, sometime.
We always had that in your head.
One break I'm going to get. Okay. Awesome. Just that I never knew how the break was coming.
Got it.
Yeah.
Where it was coming. Weirdly, my parents also had the trust in me.
Wow.
So they were like, this guy's doing something right. They had a huge doubt until they came, watched me live.
Oh.
Once they saw me live, they didn't ask questions. They'll just let me be.
Okay.
It's like, they hate you when you're in a relationship, but when they see the girl at times, they're like, oh, okay, nice. Good relationship. Nice. It's like that. The girl for me was my art. They were like, okay, nice. This guy's doing something good. Let him be.
Yeah.
And then came Comic Sans. And then I did some random character called Mrs. Janaki.
Hmm.
I used Apple Animoji and just ranted. It worked for me. Which I never planned.
Yeah.
That uncertainty phase was my existential crisis, I feel.
Yeah.
I had extreme self-confidence, which might help for you.
Yeah.
Whoever asked the question.
Yeah.
I think you should believe in yourself. Whatever you've studied, it might work for you. Just give it some time, maybe.
But to be fair, Abhishek, like a lot of people don't get that
confidence very
easy. Break.
Yeah.
You know, like because I also had a similar thing in my 21, 22. In my heart of hearts, like a break's gonna happen, and it didn't happen for four years.
Wow.
And I think that was worse. I think I should have just not had that in my head. But I was just enjoying what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I've seen other comics have it and not get the break and they stop.
Oh, shit.
And I don't want to name them, but like this is a particular person from Bangalore who spoke to me. And I was telling him that that's the problem, that you're waiting for something that might not happen and it's ruining your current experience.
Yeah.
And luckily, you and I had that break.
I'm very grateful.
But if
for
it didn't happen, bro, like imagine 8 years, you're like, it's going to happen today. And then all.
Vinny the Yogi should have still paid for my dinner.
Yeah. So it is also like.
Also, our form of work has a more chance for getting a break than some other stream, I feel. Because we can significantly tell we got a break.
But again, I don't know. Like, I feel you're one of the lucky ones who
got
through.
Yeah.
I won't say lucky, but I'm just saying.
Lot the break of things, has some luck involved in it.
Yeah, but like your work and the way things are timed perfectly.
Perfectly.
And it won't have, I won't say luck, because if there was no work, there's nothing for it to time. But it timed perfectly and your break happened. But I'm saying that a lot of people work really hard and nothing happens.
Truly, yeah.
And they're just in the wrong... Like, imagine if we started doing this now. 5 years ago of... No, okay, 10 years ago or 10 years after.
Yeah.
It might not have been the same thing. And that's all it takes, like a bunch of years, you know, so...
Right place at the right time.
Yeah, so... It's really cool how you had that self-confidence, because I mean, it's a hard thing to tell somebody. Just be confident in yourself, man.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself. He's like, I don't. That's why I'm an existential
It's
like pre-installed software that comes. Like, that's inbuilt. Because even I had that. Even through that dark phase, even I was like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's crazy. Where does it come from?
I think it comes from the validation you get in your respective institutions.
Yes.
College or school.
Correct.
If you were treated like a fucking hero, you know that you've had a high.
Oh.
Even if you have a low,
you're
not far away from the high again. Because in college, in fests and all, I used to walk in to a room telling, I'm going to win this.
Because
in college, for me, it was making money for survival.
Yeah.
All my friends were relatively richer.
Yeah.
They had the pocket money. For me, I had to win the fest to get to the trip next month. Nice. So I used to win something or the other, put myself out there, like dance or do whatever, get that prize money, which is the same thing I did in Comicstan.
Huh.
I didn't follow stand-up rules. I played it to Comicstan rules.
Yeah.
Those 3 minutes have to kill. So what I should do?
Macha, exactly, dude. It's just that. You just have to focus
seven,
on 7-8
punches.
Yeah.
Kill it.
Yeah.
That round, focus on that strength of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did in college.
So I think what he's indirectly saying is break up your goals into manageable portions.
Yeah.
And then it seems less daunting. This question is from Snigda Mathur, which I can't even. What was your, it rhymes with something. Anyway, what was your experience first time moving out and how to cope up with homesickness and nostalgia? Are you guys feeling that? You're feeling homesickness?
No.
You're very happy.
I'm very happy.
It was very comfortable outside.
Very nice. Yeah. So we'll get to the next question then. no, because I generally assumed you wouldn't have. Okay, this question, I don't know if, I know you both are single, but this question is...
can you have an update?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're dating someone? Oh, congrats, man. Is the person from Bangalore?
Mumbai, but then she moved to Bangalore.
Oh, she moved to Bangalore for the work?
For work.
How to... this is the perfect question for you. Bapadi boo.
Sorry for laughing.
How to lower expectations regarding life partner?
Wow, I need answers, Nirmal.
He had a previous question saying that I'm 27, I have a good job,
but
I'm doing well. So what is wrong? Should I lower my
expectations?
So Nirmal, tell us how you found this person.
How we can
help other people looking for life partner.
Dude, life partner and all.
This person is not.
You're watching this episode. You know who is that.
I think it'll freak her out more than me. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, so you're ready is what you're saying.
it's going to freak her out anyway. Nirmal. Let's go.
I'm dancing. But
I'm dancing.
Lower.
I thought you wanted a name.
Lower expectations with life partner. The thing is, I was in a phase where I had a breakup, and I realized for the next year after that, I never dated anybody before that, because in school, college and all, it's just like, I love you, and then you're just in a relationship for like several years.
Committed.
Yeah.
Committed. That's the way it was. So I never dated anybody. So when I was dating after my breakup, I was always looking for, is this person even to her level, my ex's level? And that just never used to happen.
Okay.
And I used to keep comparing her to comparing every date I'm going on with her. And I used to be like, no, nobody compares, dude, at all.
Yeah.
And then after a point, I slowly started realizing that, oh, you know what? Okay. You know, that relationship also was not as perfect as you may have made it look in your head. And so after that, then luckily, you know what? It's actually just major luck. When I met my current partner, I was like, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I was very comfortable And she also really liked me, which I was very surprised by. I was like, wow.
That's weird.
That's what the fuck? How?
I don't know, dude. I was just like,
she liked you also.
That's how you're dating.
No.
Hey, man. Usually you just stare at
them. And they slap each other.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you could see it. Like, oh, this was a little bit more than, okay, just a one date, two date kind of thing. Then we just slowly, because both of us are coming from previous relationships, slowly moving forward, and then now we are like very comfortable with each other. So it's not about lowering your expectations. I think it's about just looking for like, oh, I'm nothing about, not a lot of things about you annoy me.
I think
and it's,
you'll automatically lower the standards when you realize you're not the perfect version yourself.
Yeah, that's there.
I think you should be very reasonable and rational in expecting a partner in your level. Or there's no level as such, because you have so many flaws yourself. Only when you think I deserve the best, you know, because I'm the best, have a slab or a bar to reach. Once you realize everyone's natural and normal with a lot of imperfections, the bar slowly comes down.
See, I'll get the crap.
Let's go.
Okay.
He's a married man.
Want somebody who's attractive. Okay, first of all, if you're a guy.
Kenny.
I'm saying, if you're a guy, you just want somebody who's attractive, somebody who's nice.
No.
You want someone who's not nice.
No, I want someone who's nice.
Yeah.
But I look for, I think it's a problem with me. Only.
No. Tell.
Problem. Like, for example, if I don't like the work that the other person is doing.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
But Kenny can't go check everyone's dental hygiene, no, for them.
That's fair.
You're also a great painter, huh?
Which
I think you would have been like, wow.
Which she picked up after we started dating. I didn't even know she could paint that well.
So. Oh. At times you make them a better version.
No, it's fair. Like, no, what I meant was that, but the beautiful thing is, attractiveness is also subjective. What you find attractive, somebody else doesn't find attractive. So, awesome. So, you'll find one weird person, will find another weird person attractive. Done. Second, they have to be nice. Don't be a fucking asshole to each other. And third, respect. You have respect for what they do.
Respect. And like, you should have like a very interesting...
What?
That's what I'm saying. That's also subjective. Like, what is interesting for you?
Interesting conversation. Not conversations, just like... you shouldn't feel like you're putting in work to sustain that conversation.
It shouldn't be effort. It should be organic and natural.
Yeah, and if that's it, and if you just have some shared interests, like if you can, like for example, if you both like going on trips together, it's really helpful. It's really nice.
So it's just it's subjective, and I think people have a hard time accepting what they like. So, like, sometimes people forced to be attracted to people they're not attracted to.
And
they're forced to, like, find somebody who's interesting that they don't find. So, just stop wasting each other's time. And just, if you find something interesting, it's okay. You can accept. But there's a difference between having high standard of, like, they have to be rocket scientists. Yeah. As you said, like, I don't know, I am neuro research scientist. I would like another neuro research scientist. Yeah. I'm reasonably attractive. I am reasonably attractive. Enough and be nice.
What more? Do you think you'll ever date? Like, I have this thing.
He will never date an actor.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to date other people in the same kind of field. Like, for example...
same magnetic field.
Plus, no. Minus, plus, okay.
No, that's actually interesting because...
No, because I don't want to date another like content creator. Or like another actor or somebody.
Because you have no respect for them.
You know how shallow this field is.
Like, or comedian. Or I don't know. Because I feel like there's enough of that one perspective in like one room.
True.
Like,
also, this is a little flaky and volatile. If they are in a more streamlined... Remember, we had this conversation.
But then they'll think about the same thing about you, right?
Exactly. Let them think.
Let them think.
I want them to think that. Let them take it seriously that this person might be jobless in a week or so. Let me have a stable job.
Do you accept the challenge?
It'll help for the loan.
Same loan approach.
Basically, we expect a partner. It's a very selfish thought to think about. We expect a partner to lower the standard. But we... will always keep the standard high. No, what's his name? Cute name here.
Boopity.
Boopity.
Boopity boo. Boopity boo. Boopity boo.
Boopity boo.
Yeah.
No standards, man. Just go with the flow.
If you like someone, just enjoy.
Yeah, and also
when he says enjoy, you know, together.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Nothing.
And give them a chance. So don't like disqualify people in one date. Exactly.
Give them chance.
Yeah,
always.
Please get to know them 2-3 days. What if they're shy? You remember how lame you are when you meet you for the first time.
Yeah.
Right? Like we have become interesting 4th-5th meeting.
Yeah, correct.
So give that chance to the other person.
This no, but dating, you tell, like, would you ever date someone from same field?
I think it's too late for the question.
No, I'm saying in the past.
I have dated people in similar fields. Ironically, that is never the problem. It is always the
personality.
Personality, dude. I always thought that would be the problem. It never was
a problem. Huh?
Also, I feel after a point, you can't control all these things.
Yeah.
You can't pick someone from that field telling I'll date you. Yeah, feelings happen
true.
Out of nowhere.
That's true.
So
it was always the basic stuff that was a problem.
Yeah.
Like being able to talk and conflict resolution and fighting and then not resolving.
Correct. You know, I'm just slowly realizing how amazing communication is.
Yeah, man.
It will really, like, you don't have to fight. You can just communicate and like...
Oof. Preach, brother.
Whoa.
Dude, it's crazy. I'm like, whoa.
No, I have to give full credit to Trace. Dude, before Trace, I didn't know that you can micro express.
Oh, fuck.
What it's fascinating.
Explain.
Where if point A is beginning a situation and point B is you've snapped. You're like, what the fuck? There is an option between A and B to communicate that you're reaching B.
Yes,
thought I have to reach B and then snap. But then Trace at A point two only starts being like, what is this? And I'm like, interesting. I could have started earlier seeing that I'm not happy with the situation before it reaches my ultimate breaking point.
I know.
So then I never reach it now because she has taught me that you can just... halfway through the lunch be like, I'm not enjoying this. Instead of finishing the lunch, coming back home, like, I never want to go for lunch.
Yeah. Nice.
So, dude, very basic stuff.
It's a game changer.
But wait. Do you realize and acknowledge it in the point, 100%.
Midpoint? Because
that's crazy then. Then you're also a great person.
No, I'm just mimicking her. Like, it's so easy to copy an emotionally healthy person.
Mm.
It's so easy. Like, instead of learning, you can just mimic. And I've noticed like how she's able to just express before it gets bad. And it's also like it's a female thing. Also, like they're more encouraged to express constantly.
Mm.
While guys are just told to express when it's a problem.
Yeah.
So I just mimic her. And sometimes she also mimics me not escalating a situation too much. So, like she also like, let's freak out once it's a problem. She's picked that from me. So, like, for example, bags are lost, no? Like, where are the bags? I'm like, wait. Let's confirm bags are lost. Then let's flip out. She's already flipping out. And then we find out the bags were never lost.
Right,
and she's like, chumma, I flipped out. I was like, yeah, it's okay. And then I learn from her where if I don't like a situation.
In between all these.
In between all these, say, before it gets too bad. So, it's a give and take.
Nice.
Yeah. So, now I'm very lucky that way that she's... chill. I've had relations before where people are not that patient.
Bags are lost. Yeah, fucking bags are lost. Search.
Yeah. No, it takes two, but like you can communicate all you want, bro. But if that other person doesn't give a shit,
communicating.
Yeah.
So communicating is a big thing. But
something they should acknowledge also.
Of course. Nirmal's life is very superlative. Like, if he has a tea and it's good,
yeah,
my best tea I've had, man. Best tea. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he'll just say, communication, what a beautiful form of art.
It's fine. I also sound like this only.
What a cutie.
Okay, so this is the final question of the episode.
Oh my God.
Very important question.
Oh, winding up. Mm.
It's from Rakohidins.
Why are all the names today?
I don't know.
Are these YouTube username?
Instagram.
Oh, then fine. Cool.
Rachokihidin. Rakohidin.
RK. We call him RK.
Do you sock shoe or do you sock shoe?
I sock shoe.
Yeah, no, that's normal.
Yeah, that's the normal.
Only a psychopath.
Oh, it's full psycho.
One sock, one shoe.
That's absurd.
That's a person who doesn't communicate properly.
Yeah,
with his phone.
Yeah.
No, what? Never mind. What, Nirmal?
Wait, sorry. I just realized I didn't ask about your relationship status.
Yeah, I'm single. Single.
Pry.
What is pry?
Pry.
Oh, yeah.
Noond.
fish fry. And why was, are you looking or you're?
I'm definitely here and there looking.
Actually, that's another question that we are in fields where we meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us to meet people.
That's what they say. When I'm on dating apps and all, they're like, why are you here?
Well, you're on dating apps?
Yeah.
I
occasionally come. I have this phase where I swipe.
Are you on Hinge?
This phase is 4 years long.
No. I'm very on and off. I've been single for 4 years.
Yeah,
means
that's
I have
true.
Phase.
No,
you're
on
Hinge. You're on Hinge and all.
I'm in Dumble.
No, Hinge blogged him because she thought it's
Hinge
a fake profile.
Because people reported my profile telling it's fake.
Ayo.
Yeah. And I sent me.
Suffering from success, man.
Well, existential crisis.
Yeah. So, but that's a big problem. Where do you meet? Do you have time to meet?
Yeah, that's the thing. If I'm not touring and all, I meet. But then the conversations are very one-dimensional. They're like, why are you here? You'll meet people everywhere you go.
Oh, they're upset with you.
Yeah, they're questioning me, telling why are you here after matching with me. So
it's fair, no? It's like somebody's giving community lunch to downtrodden and you have meals and you're going there. And they're like, hello, we need this. Why are you here?
But the men are not complaining. The people I match with are complaining. If the men are complaining, I'm fine.
That's
they're like, Masha, why are you here?
That's
go.
That's
but the
good.
Women I match with, hey, why are you here? I'm like, you matched with me. What do you mean, why am I here? They're like, no, I'm just asking. Okay.
But
then I have to explain why I'm here. And I'm like, I don't want to, you know, meet people and ask them out in my workspace.
Yeah.
Treat that as a workspace, draw a line and have a personal life elsewhere.
But personal life also, to be honest, I really admire your relationship with each other.
Yeah.
It's very nice and yeah. I hope, touch wood, nothing happens to it. How important is that for you guys with work? Because that's, I'm big, the whole point of doing Simple Gate for me was to clearly talk about therapy.
Nice.
And mental health and because I don't know, like a big brother type, not giving
yeah.
advice, just that we're also going through
yeah.
same thing. Nobody has it figured out. So do you guys have a little, what is that, invasive thoughts, or someday Nirmal will say some shit?
No,
or
no,
someday Abhishek will go his own path?
I think my tolerance level to Nirmal is 10x compared to my tolerance to my own friends.
Oh yeah?
Because this guy's like some kid, okay? He's a...
It's only 3 years younger than you, yeah?
But he's mentally 20 years younger.
Regressed.
Okay.
By the way, controversial thought, I also love Malayalis who grew up outside Kerala.
I like people who grew outside of their own regional
yeah,
state.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like they are multilingual and they have a lot more culture in them. In general, I like people who lived outside their
yeah,
home.
Don't diss on people from their own.
I like people everywhere.
If you're from your own state,
yeah,
you are not lingual. Yeah,
not multilingual.
Yeah.
Like me.
But yeah, so do you guys consciously, I'm sure it affects everything. Like there'll be some brand deals or some show that you have to do solo, or you have one idea, you're like, should I do this by myself? Should I do it with Abhishek? Or do you like, no matter what happens, I'll always go to each other first?
Interesting. Nice question. I think we have a pact. Okay. Just like Adam Sandler and Friends.
Blood
like,
pact.
If we write some show or some movie, each other gets a role.
Okay.
The other person gets a role.
Huh.
And it's been like that so far.
Is that, you? I hope you have the same.
Yeah.
No,
it's like,
no,
when did this happen, bro?
It started off from him writing a short film.
Yeah, I wrote one short film and in that one role, he's only doing
it. Nice, exciting role that is. But the other thing is that if he gets a brand deal and all, I'm not worried.
Huh.
Because the jealousy doesn't start from there. If he performs better in a show, I take it little to myself, telling I need to perform better.
Yeah.
It's something where he sets a bar high and I want to push the bar for myself.
Yeah.
So he starts the show in the show we do, the 1 hour show. He does the first 20, I do the next 20. If he kills the 20,
then the pressure's on you. Yeah.
It's a nice pressure to have.
Yeah.
I always perform better in shows, not better, good in shows he does well.
Okay.
I've seen that pattern.
Okay.
When he sets the stage and ball rolling, the show has a very good graph to it.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So brand deals don't really affect me. We express the jealousy very openly and honestly.
Yeah.
For example, if he collaborates with a big actor, I'm like, fucker, how did he get this much? Huh?
Yeah.
How did he get this? And if I do some film, he's also openly...
Also,
I think
the micro communication is happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think communication has been saving grace.
Like also the thing is, like, for example, if I want to do something or something, no? Like I talk about that very openly with him. Like even if it's not related to him at all, I've told him, listen, I'm writing one book. Read this first page. And I show it to him.
Yeah.
He has nothing to do with it.
And I'm very honest with my feedback also.
Yeah.
I don't sugarcoat nothing. I'm like, what Greek gods in Chennai?
Yeah, so it's nice in a way. Like, yeah, we have that thing where we can work with whoever we want individually. But like, there is always things that, you know, dude, we should do this together.
Yeah.
Which is great, I feel. And I think we also took like a leaf out of you guys. Like, before...
That's where my leaf went, dude. I've been looking for that leaf, bro.
No, like in a sense, like when I came to Abhish's house for the first time, that was my first, oh, comedians.
Yeah.
Like that, because these are people who I grew up watching type. So when I was hanging out with you guys, I was like, man, these guys are all friends.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be like very competitive. You don't have to be like jealous and stuff of other people to a point where it impairs your friendship. Like jealousy is great if it helps you get better.
Yeah.
Like for example, in the first phase or something of us touring, I know that this guy is much better at like crowd work than me because he's been doing it for longer and he's had like crowd work shows that he sold with another guy who he was doing it before that. So I know he's better. So when I see him, I'm like, if we are doing a double bill show, I have to get at that same level.
Yeah.
So I have to like push myself and be like, you can't be the disappointing leg in this show. And then I'm like, somehow make them dance.
Yeah.
Make them laugh. So that's, I think in that way it helps. Like, oh, this guy's bringing his A game. I also need to. Otherwise, you'll also get lax if he's also doing some shit.
Yeah.
We're
human end of the day. Jealousy is a very natural instinct, I feel.
Yeah.
So I can't be like, wow, so nice he's performing. God bless him. I can't be I'm like, fucker.
Beyond jealousy, I just meant also, 10 years from now, things are going to change. Right?
Of course, yeah.
Like, you might...
Get a kid.
With this person.
This person or that person. Oh, yeah.
And then you might move to Auckland.
Maybe move to Auckland.
Yeah.
Move to Auckland.
So I'm like, do you guys consider stuff like that? Or you're like, no, let's just go with the flow. Or do you have like a 3-year plan?
Yeah, we have very like short-term goals, I think. I have short-term goals because it's realistic and I work towards them.
Yeah.
I like having goals which I can finish quickly. Of course, there's a long-term plan, but that's a little faded. I don't have enough clarity on it. The short-term plans are a little more streamlined and I focus on them so that I can quickly finish it.
Yeah.
It gives an instant validation and satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, I also have those. But then I also have... Like,
tell, same thing, no? Same plan.
Not same.
Copycat.
No, I'm thinking, okay, what do I want to do like in 2 years type thing? So for example, I'll start writing something or the other. Then, yeah, I have these 3 or 4 projects type thing. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at those. These 3-4 projects that I need to finish.
Yeah.
And if I finish it, I'm like very happy. Like if one of them also gets done, if I feel progress towards one of those things, I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's awesome because I used to be like this a couple of years ago. And then I think once like the personal life starts, then you get validation equal satisfaction from both.
Both being?
Like personal life and professional life.
Like you get validation for living. I'm like,
yeah.
Such a nice feeling.
I don't know how that
which
feels.
Which is very sad because I realized I guess I was not getting that from my life before. And so now it's like, now the standard forward... Art is much higher.
Oh shit.
That already doing stand-up is so much fun and great.
Yeah.
But what else? Like,
yeah.
It's great to be at home also. It's great to be with family also. So then now the barometer for me has changed into, maybe it should go beyond just trying it out. It should be like, does it even affect anybody else? Does it net have positive change?
Yeah.
Otherwise... There's enough talented people out there who are doing great projects. So what else am I adding? So that's what I was asking. Like, do you consider your personal life creeping in? Or you're not in that phase?
Not yet,
no,
I think.
Yeah. Not yet.
I think there's too much focus on professional life.
Yeah.
There's not enough focus on personal life, which might be a problem also.
Yeah.
But this is kind of satisfying and overwhelming that doesn't take too much attention at this moment.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so you're fully neglecting your girlfriend basically.
No, I'm also slowly learning. Oh, give time. Not give time. It's like, it's a natural thing that it comes. Like, I really enjoy spending time with her.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. So I'm doing that for myself. Like, I feel this way with my like close friends and all. Like, when I'm with them, it's not like I have to put any effort or anything. It recharges me rather than like depletes me.
Yeah.
It's not like going to a...
I know who depletes your energy. No, yesterday we were having a discussion about.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what is this, guys?
No, we can, we can tell it.
No, no, but I don't know.
I'm telling with confidence on Kenny.
No, I'm saying if we can't use it at all, don't tell me. Oh. But I'm saying, can you say it in a way, because now you piqued the interest so much of the viewer. So can you say it in a way that we can
We have a mutual friend who Nirmal likes to hang out with. Okay. That person also calls this Nirmal to hang out with. Huh. But when they hang out, don't talk at all. They are in each other's phones.
It's so weird.
And Nirmal feels like, I can do this at home by myself.
No, I'm also like, I feel pressure to be funny or like be like,
hey, macha, hey. And that person's just looking on his phone.
Or something. Like it's
that's strange. And is this a close friend?
He's very close.
Not close friend.
Nirmal's best friend.
My best friend.
It's quite strange.
Like his girlfriend has a problem with him hanging out.
Yes. Yes.
No. Okay. Let's end on that note. Hope that was satisfying. The lack of details.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I want to ask you like that jealousy question. Flip to you though.
Oh, damn it.
Let's go.
I forgot that question.
It's new.
Hey, we've run out of time.
That's all right. We're keeping on rolling.
Okay, no, but okay. There were three phases. First phase was, if people don't remember this, but I was doing stand-up for 4 years. And a lot of comics who started right after me blew up. And had a massive thing. So that was very... So I'm seeing my colleagues blow up while I'm still in the same place. So that was a very hard phase because you're happy for their success. But at the same time, I had my like, hey, I am supposed to have a break, right? When's my break going to happen?
When we're in Bangalore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So like I've seen my colleagues blow up and then you're like, oh, so this is going to happen to me. And then ironically, when I... Then the phase of acceptance, like, you know what, Kenny, maybe it's not going to happen. Be happy, dude. What do you have? And that's when my break happened.
Nice.
So it was a beautiful timing of when I didn't want it, it came.
Nice.
Which is after 4 or 5 years of doing stand-up. Mm. Then the second phase was me and my friends are all blowing up together. And we're on this massive speedboat.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, boom. You seen that video with that guy?
Yeah.
The girls fall off.
Yeah.
So we're just like,
yeah.
And a lot of colleagues fell off. Okay.
Oh, shit.
And
we were driving too fast.
Yeah, driving too fast.
Didn't even turn back to check on them.
No.
I mean,
no rescue operation.
I mean, bro, get your own speedboat. Okay.
One collab post you could have done.
One static post.
That's one whole another podcast.
Fuck.
I did this whole, oh, I need to give back. I went to give back. Mm. Then I realized, oh, they're in that zone because of their own doing.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
it's not like they needed the help.
Fair.
They only don't want to get out of it. So then I went through that guilt phase of, because I felt like, you know, I left Bangalore.
Yeah.
And I'm doing really well. My friends are doing well. But some of my friends are not doing well. Then you realize that, first of all, none of this was in my control.
Yeah.
All I could do was work really hard. And the reason I think Biswa, Kanan, Abish, we're still together is because we also worked really hard. And we accepted the fact that it can't happen for everybody. We are very lucky, but we also worked for it.
Nice.
I think the dissonance happens when I feel people think there's no work involved.
Yeah.
It's only luck.
Yeah.
That's when the dissonance happens. And then the other one, which is it's only hard work. There's no luck.
It's
you can't connect with both those people.
Yeah.
Mm. Now the phase happened, which is beautiful, which is I realize that all my friends have different goals. Like Kanan has a very different goal than I do.
Mm.
Biswa has a very different goal than I do. Abhish has but to the outside world, it looks like we all are in the same profession and
correct,
the same
correct.
But we have completely different goals. We look at success very differently. So then I was like, oh, so we were never competing.
Nice.
Like we always had different goals. Like for example, Kanu wants to write a book. Abhish wants to be an actor. He wants to do a show. Biswa just wants to be a very, very good comedian.
And Nirmal wants to be everything.
Yeah, no.
It sounds like a flex,
no,
but it's not.
No, it's a good ambition to have, right? Something,
that's it,
I'm not even making fun.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. How the fuck, man? You want to be Biswa, Abish, Kanan?
Yeah.
Tracy, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm painter.
This is the most Tracy's been name dropped.
sorry.
And then I realized my first and second phase are fully fake.
Oh, yeah.
It was all in my head.
No, it was not fake, maybe. At that particular time, it was true.
No, like I projected it.
All right.
But I realized they were never in the same... okay, I'll give you a good analogy. It's like we started from the same point, so it looked like we're running towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize like we're going like
this.
Yeah. So then I look around, there's nobody next to me because like, I'm
the speedboat alone.
Yeah. I'm in my own speedboat.
They switched to other speedboats. Yeah.
But the starting point is same. Mm. So it looks like we're racing each other.
Yeah.
But actually, over time, we're actually just going
different in tangents.
Wow. So.
What a beautiful analogy, bro.
It's a painting. It's a painting.
Yeah. So again, I guess now we'll end.
Yes, this is a good.
Yeah, good point.
Hey,
good
you end. Like it?
I like it.
It feels good to end here, no?
Beautiful.
You can.
Now if we add, it'll just feel like.
I think we should walk that way also. Like exit like that. Mm. I'll exit.
Yeah, we've never had a walking.
I think we should end.
You know why? Because if you walk, if you do this weird, non-sexy thing.
Yeah.
Who wants to see that? You know, this is pre-manufactured sitting. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in on this episode. Nirmal and Abhishek were lovely. It was so nice to finally talk to fellow South
Indian. He just wanted South
Indian. Guys, just
hashtag South India.
Hashtag South India. That's the...
Is it wrong?
It's like farming.
It's true to his roots.
I'm proud of where I'm coming from. Is that wrong?
No.
Huh?
No.
Can we all speak our language?
Vada.
Pesalanda.
So... anyway, you guys are touring also?
Yes, sir. We are touring India, but India tour is almost done. Yeah. We are doing a Europe leg and we're doing the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, we're doing Fringe Festival.
What?
Yeah. Edinburgh people pop off.
For how long?
It's 13 nights in a row.
Amazing.
And then we're doing Australia and?
We're doing Australia.
Middle East.
Hopefully New Zealand. And hopefully.
Do Australia also?
Yeah, Australia we're doing. Australia tickets are live, I think.
Yeah, it's live.
Oh, it's live already. So all of this is on your Instagram?
Yeah.
Guys, if you haven't found their Instagram, Simple Ken Podcast will help you. This is the links to their Instagram.
Thank you,
friends.
That's
Nirmal's girlfriend's name. And this is Abhishek's personal address. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
And please send your questions on comments or on the Instagram channel, which is Simple Ken Podcast. And believe in yourself. Okay?
It's time for simple.
That's the short version. Bye.
Bye.